Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation today is from Ephesians chapter 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So far the text, you may be seated. It's kind of ironic, the first illustration is about somebody good at math. My band instructor said, you know, God gives everybody something. And there was a kid who had math as his strong point, you know. It's kind of different when someone has a mind that makes sense of math. Most people just look at it and shake their heads. My son was that way with music. He taught music theory on the college level, and he said, it just makes sense to me. But most people was like, organic chemistry or something like that, you know. But there are different gifts for different people. There was a guy by the name of Dave Horn. I don't know if you've heard of Dave. He was in the ministry for several years, and then he decided to go full-time on the road with music ministry. So he wrote songs, and he goes around. Maybe we'll have him here sometime. Who knows? But he has this voice that just soars easily on the high notes. I said, Dave, how did you develop that? How did you get so you could just so easily hit those high notes and it sounds so smooth and just so relaxed? And he thought for a moment, he said, I was born. In other words, it was just a gift. That's all there was to it. That was his gift, and he continues to use that as he travels around to various churches all over the United States, sharing that gift. He sings the cross and the resurrection, as he says. That's awareness. He found out what he could do. So you have awareness, and then you have attitude, and then you have actions. So think of the disciples. Who would you think of as being outstanding, someone with a lot of gifts or a special gift? Well, I think most people would start with Peter, James, and John, right? The big three who seem to be with Jesus a lot. And Peter, of course, you know, he preached that sermon on Pentecost. Says 3,000 people were added to the church. I don't think I ever preached a sermon like that. But that was part of his gift, to be a leader and to be powerful in his expression. James was one of the really top guys in the early church. People looked to him to decide important issues in the church at that time. And John, well, John wrote part of the Bible, right? The Gospel of John. That's not too shabby. But what about some of those other disciples? I'm thinking particularly of a guy named Andrew. He was a disciple. He didn't preach any powerful Pentecost sermon like Peter. Peter maybe was a 10-talent person. Andrew might be a 1-talent person. There was a great director in the music field, and someone after a concert went up to him and said, what is the most difficult instrument in the whole orchestra? He said, second fiddle. A little thought thing there. Being willing to be in the background and give support, you know, not being the one who is featured, the soloist or something like that. And Andrew was one of those guys. But you know, someone said if there were no Andrew to bring Peter to Jesus, there would have been no Pentecost sermon either. And if you look in John chapter 1, verse 41, Andrew is the guy who says to Peter, we have found the Messiah. He's the one who brings Peter to Jesus. Isn't that interesting? And maybe you remember the story about people being hungry, and they brought a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Who brought him? Andrew. We can say, why was he acquainted with this kid and nobody else? Well, it seems that he just had a way of being with people that built trust and relationship. And when he found out they needed food, well, he was there. And he brought the young lad to Jesus. And Jesus took it from there, right? There's another place where some Greeks came and they wanted to see Jesus. They came to another disciple, Philip. So what did Philip do? He handed him over to Andrew. Andrew was the guy who knew how to introduce people to Jesus. In fact, you might call him Andrew the Introducer. That's what he did. He was aware of his gift, and he had the right attitude for that, and he acted. He wasn't afraid to do something, you know. A lot of people are a little bit squeamish about saying, hey, you want to come and worship with me? I mean, it just sounds like you're trying to make them do something or something like that. Andrew didn't have anything like that. He says, come on over, you know, see Jesus. You know, with the weekend celebrating the veterans and all that, kind of reminds me of World War II, way back when. And people just did their jobs, and yet what they did was really important. They were playing second fiddle, in a sense. They were giving support, doing those things which were necessary to keep people safe. The Battle of Britain is one of those cases. August to October 1940, the Germans lost 2,375 planes. The British lost 375 pilots. They were killed. They put their lives on the line. They gave their lives for the other people. Plus, there were 358 wounded. And all that led to the famous quote from Winston Churchill, "Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few." World War II also reminds me of my friend Russ Bogue. Russ isn't with us anymore, but he specifically gave me permission to tell his story, so I'm going to tell it to you right now. He was fighting in World War II, and he said, we were pinned down on 3 sides. There were bullets flying everywhere, and he said, oh God, get me out of this, and I'll give my life to you. Well, he says, obviously he got me out. But after a couple more weeks of fighting, I kind of forgot about that, he said. And then he was in a landing craft. They were coming into shore, and it was hit by a shell and blew this craft out of the water. He went down into the water, and when he came up, one eye was hanging out of the socket. And he said, oh God, save my eye, and I'll give my life to you. Well, he said, I can actually see better out of that eye than I can out of the other one today. So when he got back, got home after the war, he decided he ought to just kind of cover himself. He said, maybe I'll go to church once a month, maybe twice a month on a good month, and sort of cover myself, sort of insurance, celestial asbestos, you know, save me from the flames of hell or something. And so that's what he did. And then there was a Bible study on the book of Revelation. He said, that sounds kind of interesting. Maybe I'll just take a look at that. And so he came in the door of the church and started downstairs. The Bible study was in the basement. And just as he was about halfway down, they were in that part, the letters to the churches, you know, at the beginning of Revelation. And it was those words, thou art neither cold nor hot. Thou art lukewarm, and I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's me, he said. And so from that day, he decided he was going to find out what he could do and do it. He had a change of awareness, a change of attitude, and he was determined to do something, to actually act on that new insight. So you know what he did? He went around to every family in that congregation every year and asked for a contribution to Lutheran Ministries. That's what he could do. But he found out that the rest of his life was kind of different too. People kind of caught on that he was taking his faith seriously. He worked at the post office, and some of the guys down there started calling him Preach. Hey, Preach, how's the church going? You know. But when somebody had a problem, who did they want to talk to? Good old Preach, right? And so it made a difference in his life and in the lives of those around him. When he had a new awareness of his gift, his talent, a new attitude on how to use it, and new actions in actually carrying out some of that which was new in his life. Then you think about Jesus. Now, he had a sense of awareness of who he was very early in life, didn't he? You probably remember the story when he went to the temple and his folks started going back from the big celebration. He wasn't with them. They thought maybe he was with the relatives because, you know, kids kind of like to get together and thought, well, that's probably what happened. But he wasn't there. So they went back to Jerusalem, searched for 3 days. And finally they found him in the temple. And the people there were amazed at his insights, his questions and answers. And they said, how could you do this to us? And he was just kind of puzzled. He said to them, didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? So at 12 years old or so, he already saw himself as Son of God. And that grew as he understood more and more about what God wanted him to do as Son of God, as a human, and also as God's own Son. So, the attitude he developed was one of total service to others. There are many places where it talks about that in the Bible. One of my favorites is Philippians chapter 2, where we read, have this attitude which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Total giving. That's what he understood was the attitude that his Father wanted him to have. And it wasn't easy. About in the middle of Luke, it says he set his face toward Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the place he knew he would die. The picture comes to mind, you know, on a movie where the hero has this little muscle on the side of his face, you know, tense up, you know, he's really determined, he's going to do something. That's what I picture when I hear those words. He set his face toward Jerusalem. And it wasn't easy. In the Garden of Gethsemane, everything human in him wanted to avoid what was ahead of him. 3 times he prayed to God, if there is any other way, take this cup of suffering from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And so he went forward to the suffering and death on the cross. For a reason. The reason is to give us forgiveness. He took every evil thing that anybody has ever done, took it in his own body, and died with it so it no longer has any power over us. And God approved that action by the resurrection. And so we have a Lord who has suffered and died and risen again. And he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. There's a connection there, a living connection, so that we share in that resurrection life day by day. So what does that mean for us? Well, It means that we also look for awareness, find out what can we do. Children's room is just right on target for me today. I could have just let her play it and not worry about my sermon. But that was what we need to do as well. We had a little exercise with youth ministry once. What is your talent? Of course, most of us don't know. We don't consider ourselves very talented. So I had these little 3x5 cards, and it started out, God loves you, name, and he has given you the gift of whatever. So sometimes it's good for us to ask other people what our talent is. Maybe we don't realize something that we can do, something that we'd be good at. People were surprised at how others saw them. And some of them, with that awareness, got a new attitude and actually did some things that they might not have done before. In any case, this is what is part of this whole business of our talents, with the time, talents, and treasure that we think about with stewardship. Stewardship, managing God's gifts to us. It says, grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So we all have gifts. It's a matter of finding them, becoming aware, and with a new attitude, act in ways that finally gives glory to God as we serve others. Building up the body of Christ. Amen.